God bless you as you tune in. My name is Trevor Egaga. I'm a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share a little on the letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. This is something that we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13 to the end of the chapter. These are verses that deal with a phenomenon that is popularly termed the rapture. And from the way Paul writes this letter, you can see that this is the hope of our calling as saints. It says, console one another with these words. Paul was speaking here about our being caught up to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, to be with the Lord forever. Paul speaks about how the trumpet blows, how we hear the voice of the trumpet, the sound of the archangel, how that those who are dead in Christ and those who remain in this world, and how they are all gathered together to meet the Lord in the air, in this cloud, at the sounding of the last trumpet, or we can call it the trump of God. Praise God. Now, if you study the scripture properly, Paul is actually speaking about the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead, and he's speaking here in a spiritual language, not in a human language. He's speaking here in a language that is purely spiritual. He's speaking in a language that was, you know, directed to people who understood what he was saying. These are people he had fellowship with, people who were used to the terms that he was using. You see, like we see in 1 Corinthians, we speak a language that is purely spiritual. We speak a wisdom that is of God, a wisdom that is spoken among those who are perfect. Praise God. Not a wisdom like that we see in this world. Not the wisdom of this world below, but a wisdom that is in God. We speak after that wisdom because God has given us His Spirit so that we can speak deep, deep things of God. We can understand the deep thoughts of God and the deep communication of God. Now, Paul obviously would not have been able to write this letter years earlier on, years before he met the Lord. In the days he walked around in the ignorance of, you know, the Hebrew tradition, there was no way Paul could have been able to write this letter, because in the first place, he wouldn't have understood what he was writing about. But here we see a Paul who was instructed by the Spirit, a Paul who had been listening to the heart of the Father, a Paul who had come to understand the will of God for our individual lives. A will that goes beyond the traditions of religion and goes beyond all the mind-formed methods that we have formed as men to reach God. God was, you know, Paul was speaking in a tone according to the spiritual language of God. He was speaking out of a wisdom fetched out of the depths of God. Be not ignorant. This was what he wrote in his letter to the Thessalonians. Be not ignorant. Ignorant like the world who has no hope. Don't be ignorant like the world. Ignorance is to be, you know, unillumined. You don't have the understanding of God. If you understand the heartbeat of God, you will not sorrow. You will not be in despair. You know, in despair, but rather you have hope. And you will joy in that hope. Praise God. So now we understand the deep things of God. God has given us His Spirit freely so that we can understand the deep things of God, and the invisible things of God become comprehensible to us. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the things that be of God, but today we hear them, we understand them, and we walk in them, we partake in these things because God has given us, you know, the eyes to see and the ears to hear. God has given us His Spirit. Praise God. And when we have that Spirit, we can comprehend our inheritance in light. Praise God. But these things that we speak at times, they sound like foolishness to the men of this age. Praise God. Now, these things I'm about to preach or I'm about to share with you are things that I have shared in the past with some people who just, you know, turned the lights off on me. People who just simply turned their backs on me. People who were my friends, who were my brethren in church. People who are very close to me. The moment they heard me speak what I'm about to share with you, that was the end. I never heard from them again. Why? Because the deep things of God, the things of God are not comprehensible to those who are carnal, those who are carnally minded, to the natural mind. The natural man cannot receive the things of God because they are what? Foolishness. The natural mind has its set and focused on the things of this physical natural dimension, and is unable to comprehend the invisible things of God. The natural mind of man is one with Satan. That is why Jesus Christ said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou knowest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Satan is not aware of the things of God. Satan means ignorance of the things of God, and that is the mindset with which men walk in this age. Have you heard of the mark of the beast? Have you heard of 666 on the foreheads of men? It talks of the mindset of the men of this age, which, you know, cannot comprehend the things of God. Carnally minded men. And the Bible says that to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and life eternal. Hallelujah. Praise God. So today we have the Spirit of God so that we can speak the wisdom of God. We can understand the deep things of God. We can also understand the communication of Paul. We can understand the communication of Jesus, the communications of the Old Testament prophets. We can begin to understand what God is saying, you know, from the things that are seen, simply because we have His Spirit. Praise God. So it is how we hear and receive from the Spirit that brings about our salvation. So what we just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13 to 17, which says, "But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. You don't need to sorrow for a brother or a sister or somebody who has passed away. You don't have to sorrow and you don't have to be worried about these things anymore, because you are being illumined with the plan of God. You begin to understand the heartbeat of God for all men. See, I was some weeks back, I was in a country and I met somebody, and one of the first questions he asked was, what happens to my father and my mother? Praise God. He was expressing his fear. Hallelujah. But let us listen carefully to what Paul is saying. Paul is saying here, don't sorrow, don't be like the world who has no hope, the world who have not understood the mystery of the will of God. I'll go down to verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now these are beautiful, you know, words by Paul, speaking about the hope of our calling. He was using spiritual language here. He was not speaking with a language of men. Hope, hallelujah. He was speaking in a spiritual tongue. Many people are still waiting for something to happen in the sky. A big mighty angel to come and to hear one big mighty sound of a trumpet, or one big angel coming down from heaven to with a big shout. But these are wrong concepts. Praise God. These are things that can be spiritually discerned. Even the way this scripture is written here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you can see that it's a bit distorted because of the translator. There's no way the person who translated these scriptures will be able to comprehend what Paul was trying to say. He translated these scriptures according to his best ability, the way he understands it. So what Christians today wait for is something to happen tomorrow in the sky, a trumpet, and they will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air physically and to be with Jesus in the sky forever. You see, but this is not the plan of God. Yes, there is a trumpet sounding. Yes, there is a shout of the archangel. Yes, there is a glory cloud. Yes, we are being united with the Lord. But these things are events that happen spiritually, presently, and continuous. Because from the days of Jesus, the kingdom of God has been, the doors have been flung open for every man to enter in. Every man to press in. Praise God. Even from the days of John the Baptist, when he was preaching, every man who has ears to hear has the ability to press in right now and enter in and be partakers of the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. The dead, who are the dead? We must understand that the dead speaks here about a spiritual concept, because every single man died in Adam. All men what died in Adam. It is written that all men died in Adam and all shall be made alive in Christ. All are falling short of the glory of God, but are justified freely by the grace that is in the redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ. all men died in Adam, spiritually speaking, we all died, and when you die, it's a loss. It means a loss of reality, a loss of reality of yourself. Praise God. And when you die, you suffer many horrors. See, it horrors that reality are mind formed. The charge to God, of God to Adam in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, was that in the day you partake of that tree, you shall surely die. What tree was he talking about? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day you partake of that tree, seed of that fruit which is given by the serpent, you shall surely die. And of course, we saw that Adam went on to live hundreds of years after the transgression. Why? It does not change anything, because Adam was already dead from the moment he partook of that fruit. See, in his deadness, he entered into a realm of, tribulation as a result of him sensing himself to be separate from God. Adam in the garden in glory represents the Christ. He represents the one who reigns in oneness with the Father. The one who reigns in the glory of the Father. The one who says that I and the Father are one. The one who is the image and the likeness of God. The one who is blessed with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in God. That was Adam when he reigned in glory. But all that was lost in the transgression. See, Adam conformed himself. He changed his state. Adam became a mortal man. Adam, who was a light being, a spiritual being, a celestial being, became a terrestrial carnal being. And he lost out of his boundless blessings in God. He lost out of his inheritance in light, in incorruptibility, in immortality. He exchanged the glory of God, who he represented, into that of mortal man. And all that was in the mind. Dust you are, dust you return, represents the deep state of sleep Adam fell into. Adam fell into a sleep. He went to sleep in the dust. He was buried from that moment. And of course, the dead cannot see, the dead cannot hear, the dead cannot speak, the dead don't know anything. They are absent from every reality of truth. And corruption feeds on them, death feeds on them. But thank God, through the gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ has come to abolish death in our individual lives. Because death is the last enemy to be destroyed. As we hear the voice of the Lord in this hour, Jesus Christ says, the hour cometh when those who are in their graves will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they shall what? They shall come back to life. They shall what? Come back to life. Those who have done good shall what? Come back to life. Hallelujah. How do you do good? As you hear the voice. You do good as you hear the voice of the Spirit, the voice of the Lord, attentively, and align yourself to that voice. See, you cannot do good by sacrificing to God. You cannot be good by trying to be good morally as a man. But you can do good by allowing the guidance of the Spirit lead you back into your perfect state. The psalmist says that sacrifices has God not desired. God has not desired sacrifices. He has not desired burnt offerings from us. He has not desired anything from us. Rather, he has given us an ear to hear him. Praise God. And when we hear him, it simply awakens us back to the reality of who we are. Because before now, we have been shrouded in a lie, covered in the lie. But when we hear the voice of truth, there is an awakening as to who we truly are, our true image, our true self, which is the Holy One, who is the image and the likeness of God, the brightness of His glory, the express image of God. That is what we are. Praise God. And as we hear the voice of God and awaken to the Son, this is what pleases God. Praise God. This is what, where then we can hear that voice which says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Sacrifices and all your works of religion as men cannot get to God. It's only a waste of time. Moralism will not take you to God. Rather, it's how you can hear and allow Christ be formed in you that is the good will of God. Praise God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind as you hear the voice of truth. Praise God. Allow yourself to be lifted from the dust, which is the carnal realm, back into the invisible spiritual realm as you hear the voice. Praise God. Incidentally, that voice is the voice of the trumpet. That voice is also the shout of the archangel. Praise God. It's not something that will happen tomorrow in the sky. You better believe that what you are hearing today is the last trumpet. It's the voice of the Spirit. And the Lord is the Spirit. It is the voice of the Spirit bringing an awakening back to you so that you can awaken back into the reality of who you are. When John saw Jesus in the book of Revelation chapter 1, when he was caught up into heaven, the Bible says that he heard a voice like the voice of a trumpet behind him. And what did he do? He turned to hear that voice. And behold, he beheld Jesus in a glorified state. You can notice that the voice was like the voice of a trumpet. Why a trumpet? Or do you think something like what John saw exists in reality in the sky? Of course not. All these are allegories God uses to teach us the deep things of God. The trumpet represents the call of God. The call, or the language of the Spirit. It's a loud trumpet, a splitting sound, which brings an awakening in the ears of those who are deep asleep. It awakens you from the dead and raises you back up into your spiritual body, your spiritual self, destroying every sense of mortality. Hallelujah. Causes you to know yourself the way you are known of God. All through the Old Testament, the trumpet was normally used to summon the people of God to a convocation, to a gathering, to gather people. Generally, there was these trumpets that were normally blown in the old Israelic order, Hebrew order. Hallelujah. And that trumpet today is sounding to gather the sons of God back into that assembly, that celestial assembly, which is in Christ. Paul says that God has made his will known to us. His good will has been made to us. And what is his good will? His good will is to gather each and every one of us back into himself. To gather us back into that union that we have with God from the beginning. Hallelujah. Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians, says that he has made known unto us the mystery of his will, which is to gather, which is that is in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he will gather together all things in one, all things in Christ, which are in heaven and on earth, even in him. All things in Christ. All things being gathered back into Christ. This is the will of God, the mystery of the will of God. Christ is represents the glory of God. Christ represents the Son of God. Christ represents the embodiment of the totality of God. In him dwells the fullness of God. Everything that is God is in Christ. Praise God. The anointing without measure. Hallelujah. The glory and the power and the majesty and everything that is God is in the Son. And we are being gathered together into that body. And this happens only as we hear the trumpet. The last trumpet. Hallelujah. The trump of God. Hallelujah. And of course we have the shout of the archangel. The shout of the archangel is not some kind of shout of one kind of big angel with wings somewhere in the sky. It's the same trumpet. The trumpet which goes, ah, the shout, the trumpet, everything is produced by the breath of man, isn't it? And that breath goes forth actually from the depths of God to bring about an awakening in men. It's actually the deep things of God being transmitted to men, so that we no longer walk as carnal beings, creatures of the dust, creatures, you know, with a diabolical nature, but rather we walk once more as sons of God in the glory of God the Father. Isn't it wonderful? So we are understanding what the trumpet of God means. See, it is the communication of the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. It is the communication of the Spirit. Deep calleth unto the deep. It is bringing an awakening, a communication unto those who are dead in their graves. Very much like that same shout, you know, that the Lord made when he called Lazarus from the grave. The Bible says Jesus Christ called Lazarus with a loud shout, Lazarus, comfort. That is the same shout of the archangel, or the same voice, or the same trump of God. All this is spiritual communication that Paul was communicating to his spiritual people. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. So there's a trumpet sounding right now. Praise God. You don't have to wait for something to happen tomorrow. It's where you are right now. Sit down, be still, and hear what the Spirit has to say with the church. God places so much emphasis on hearing. He says, an ear have I given you to hear. Hearing brings about salvation. Salvation comes by how we can hear, not by our running around, not about our trying to please God, thinking that we can please God as men, but rather sitting down in silence and receiving with meekness the incorruptible word that is able to save our soul. Receiving the word of truth. Receiving the communication of the Spirit, and let God awaken you from your slumber. Praise God. Thou that sleepest in the dust, awake and let Christ shine in you. When you awake, you discover that you are perfect. You are in the likeness of God. You lack no good things. You are complete in Him. You are a bundle of joy, a bundle of light, a bundle of all power. You will discover that I and the Father are one. You will discover yourself seated in heavenly places, ruling in Christ. Praise God. Now this is what the cloud symbolizes. Notice that the cloud is a heavenly body. Praise God. Notice that the cloud is a heavenly body. It's always above. God has always used the clouds throughout the scripture to represent His glory. Right from the Old Testament, we saw how the Ark of Noah was caught up to the very mountain peak, and God showed a rainbow in the cloud, showing that Noah was caught up into the glory cloud of God. We are speaking here in allegories, in a spiritual language. We are understanding what God meant when He transported Noah to the peak of Zion, spiritually speaking. Because the same things that happened in the days of Noah are the same things that are happening now. God is transporting His sons, who have ears to hear, like Noah, back into the glory cloud, where the rainbow is, upon the peak of Zion. Oh, hallelujah. Another instance where the cloud is used in the Bible is when the children of Israel met with God upon Mount Sinai. After the trumpet sounded loud for days, loud trumpet, which was summoning the children of Israel to gather around the foot of Mount Sinai, on the third day, the Lord appeared upon Mount Sinai with clouds and fire and great earthquake. All these are allegorical views of the invisible. God was showing that whenever He appears, He is found in the clouds. Whenever God spoke to Moses, He spoke out of the clouds. When Moses ascended the mountain, he ascended into that cloud and God spoke to him. Normally, when Moses would go into the holies of holies that was in the tabernacle, God would speak to Moses out of a cloud that hovered over the mercy seat between the cherubims. Praise God. When Moses dedicated the temple, or the tabernacle of his tabernacle, the tabernacle he constructed, it is written that when he dedicated it, God's glory filled the tabernacle like a cloud. The same thing for the dedication of the temple of Solomon. And throughout the journeying of the children of Israel, the 40 years in the wilderness, there was always that cloud over them. And in reality, allegorically, all this represents the body of Christ. The clouds represents the glory of God, the body of Christ, a composite body with innumerable members. Paul calls them witnesses, cloud of witnesses, and they form that one body. These are the ones in the glory of God, and we are all being gathered into that glory. Notice that when the children of Israel entered the promised land, the clouds over them ceased. God was trying to show that they are entering into the promised land means finding yourself consciously in the clouds. The cloud represents the glory of God. It is an invisible body. a spiritual body. You can't touch clouds. You can't pin down a cloud. That represents the glory out of which we all fell in Adam. But we are being gathered back into that glory. Hallelujah. Wherever God appeared, just read throughout the Bible, wherever he appeared in a, some kind of physical manifestation, there was always the cloud or the fire by day or by night. Cloud by day or fire by night. It always follows that pattern, and God uses this to teach us spiritual things, because in reality, if you go up to the physical clouds, you will never find God there. It's a spiritual cloud, an invisible body. And we are being gathered into that body. Hallelujah. All we need is just to hear the trumpet. You hear the trumpet, and there's a dissolving, a dissolution, a destruction of the old man, the false man of the flesh, who has actually been a barrier between man and God. God wants us to know that we are one and part of his glory. We are one with his glory. We are one with God. It never changed. It only changed in our minds, in our comprehensions. And the systems of this world, the systems of religion, our beliefs did not help matters. These are the things that continually separate us from our portion in God. The Lord is our life. We are one with God forever in love. But our ability to hear truth is what makes us realize this truth. Hence the need for the trumpet. Hence the need for the shout of the archangel. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You can see that even during the days of the ministry, this cloud appeared when Jesus Christ went up, upon the mountain of transfiguration. The Bible says that a stage came where he was covered with a cloud, and out of the cloud came the voice, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." So you can see that same cloud here represents the glory of God. Jesus Christ was demonstrating himself, his perfect self, his true spiritual eternal self in the glory of the Father. Throughout the days of his ministry, he walked in that cloud. He was encompassed in that cloud. And his ministry is to reconcile every man back to that cloud, which, like I say, is the glory of God, which is Christ himself. Hallelujah. At the end of his ministry, Jesus Christ was caught up also into that cloud. In Acts chapter 1, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was taken up into a cloud and disappeared from before the disciples, showing that he ascended back into the glory of the Father. He ascended back into his true light, perfect, immaterial self, the way he was before he descended into this world. In his prayer, he says, "Father, glorify me with the glory I had in you, with you, as you, before this world was. Glorify me with that glory." And this should be our glory. This should be our prayer today, to be partakers of that glory, because we are predestined. We are called, predestined, to be conformed to the image of Christ. We are predestined, all called to be partakers in that glory cloud with the Lord. It represents the Lord's body. So shall we be with the Lord forever. This is the salvation which is already available for every man who has ears to hear. It's not something that happens tomorrow when something happens in Russia, or when something happens in America, or when some kind of prophecy is fulfilled. Because all that are just lies. All you need now is to hear and realize God's presence, God's kingdom, God's glory, which is always present. It never left us. It only left us in our minds. Hallelujah. Caught up to meet the Lord in the air. so shall we be with the Lord forever and ever. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. We are seeing the mystery of the will of God today. Hallelujah. God is bringing remembrance. Oh, hallelujah. You will notice that the trumpet or the call is seen in many types all over the world. See, the church will normally ring the bell. The old traditional church will ring the bell as a kind of signal causing an awakening for people to come into worship. The Muslims early in the morning, the early hours of the morning, will go out and make a loud shout calling on the faithfuls to come out to worship. Oh, hallelujah. And there are many, many diverse things we see in creation. The cock crows at dawn. The cock, as the cock crows, what it is meant to do is to bring an awakening to those who are asleep. This is spiritual communication here I'm giving to you, revealing the depths of God to you in this hour. The trumpet is all about the voice of the Spirit awakening man back to his spirituality. Thou that sleepest in the dust, awake, and Christ will shine in you. Hallelujah. Thou that sleepest in the dust, awake and ascend to Zion, where the clouds are gathered. Ascend back into the spiritual heights of Zion. Ascend back into the spiritual peak of God. Everything we suffer as men, whether a sense of lack, whether a sense of sickness, emotional pain, sorrow, inferiority complex, all these things we suffer as men is simply because we were alienated from the life of God. In our minds, we are all separated from God. We are scattered among the nations, dead in our sins and trespasses, dead in our ignorance as men. But the trumpet awakens us to our oneness with God. Praise God. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. It's a spiritual union. So shall we be with the Lord forever. In one, the two shall be one. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And if God be for us, who can be against us? This is the gospel that we are preaching. This is the gospel we are listening to in this hour. Hallelujah. Listen to the voice of this trumpet in this hour. And let the morning star arise in your heart. Listen to the testimony from heaven this hour, reminding you of your glorious self. Reminding you that thou art the beloved of God. Thou art my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You are always perfect. You are always in the image of God. You are always in the presence of God. Just awaken and enter into fellowship with God. Enter back into that union that was hidden from our sight in our descent into this world. Hallelujah. Console yourselves one another with these words. Fellowship with these words. Awakening day by day. Hallelujah. Appreciating one another. Letting the older man disappear and the new man, which is Christ, appear. This is the will of God in this hour. To gather everything back into Christ. All were scattered and dispersed in Adam. All died as a result of one man's transgression, but also by the result of one man's obedience, how much more are all made worthy to be partakers of this free gift of God. You receive this thing in this hour. Open your ears and receive the testimony from above. And arise and walk wherever you are. Arise and walk in your perfection and in your glory. God bless you. Amen.